Good afternoon. I'm Adam Ragusea, and it's time for you to ask the mayor. Kokomo Mayor Greg Goodnight is on the line with us here. He is available to answer any questions that you might have or that I might have, as the case may be. And we want to extend a special welcome and invitation to our Kokomo Howard County listeners. We'd love to have you join the conversation this afternoon as we speak with Greg Goodnight. The phone number to call is toll-free, 877-285-9348. That's 877-285-9348. If you prefer, you can also send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. We do check that email throughout the show, and we'd be happy to bring up any questions or issues that you might have. Mayor Goodnight, how are you doing this afternoon?
Just fine, Adam. How are you?
Doing all right. The legislative session is over. Legislators have passed this rather substantial tax restructuring plan. And one of the other mayors that we talked to on the show, Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong, a week after the session ended, sent out a memo to all of his department heads saying, I want proposals for 5% across-the-board budget cuts on my desk by the end of the month. Are you that worried?
Well, we're in a different situation, a little bit. We passed we were one of, 10, 12 counties that last year passed the LOIT tax.
The local option income tax.
Absolutely. And so we are still crunching numbers. We also, of course, I'm new to the office. We asked for an independent audit at the beginning of the year, met with the auditors a couple weeks ago, and they wanted to wait till the legislative session had ended. I just got an update from my controller about 10 minutes ago that we are going to have a meeting next week, but they are still crunching numbers. And we may not be quite to that point because the county put the local option income tax in, but the DLGF numbers and the independent auditor's numbers are not quite matching. So we don't have any specific numbers here in Kokomo at the time.
Where would you look to trim if you had to?
It's probably going to be similar to what Mayor Armstrong said. I think it's going to have to be share the pain a little bit within each and every department. We've done some things already. We, of course, at the beginning of the year, we laid off some employees. We've had some other ones leave and have not replaced them. So, we're running, a little bit thinner than has been done in the past. But if we have to make additional changes, we'll make additional changes. I really hate to get into specifics, but it will be it'll probably be shared throughout the city.
Any other pieces of legislation that were passed that you think are going to affect the community? I know we're still sifting through everything that was or wasn't passed. I think our listeners will be glad to know that their ballistic knives are still legal.
Yeah, that's always comforting.
Yeah, I know.
There was some anti-annexation legislation that never made it through, and I think that's good. I think communities have to have the ability to grow, if you look at the map of the city of Kokomo, there are some small pockets and some holes in the center part of the city where we actually drive a police car through to make calls to other parts of the city. We have to drive our street crews, trash trucks, snow plows through unincorporated areas to get to the incorporated parts. So, there's if we could, do some of that, and I think we're going to have to take a serious look at it. We can do that probably on a without raising taxes. We could actually provide some of these services really cheap because we're already in those areas driving through. It's just a matter of like on snow plowing, just dropping the blade while we drive through. We're going to look at some of those things since the anti-annexation bill did not pass.
We're speaking with Kokomo Mayor Greg Goodnight here on WFIU's Ask the Mayor. The toll-free number to call to join the conversation is 877-285-9348, or you can send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. Mayor Goodnight, I'm really curious we haven't talked since you've been mayor about Continental Steel, and I'm very curious about your feelings about this site. This is a big chunk of land for the listeners who might not be familiar. We're talking about, 80 acres?
Yeah, I think it's just a little under 80 acres, and it's near the center part of town.
Yeah.
Continental Steel was around for, 80, 100 years, went out of business 1986, became a Superfund site, since been cleaned up. Now we're looking at reuse of the area.
And there's still soil contamination there to be dealt with.
Yeah.
And your predecessor, Mayor McKillop, had come up with what seemed to me at the time to be a pretty audacious plan to turn the whole thing into a city park. And then that actually got some statements of support from a lot of people. And now we have Representative Jim Buck invoking this kind of obscure DNR program. Which gives 100 seedlings a year to any member of the Indiana General Assembly who wants them. And he's offering to get you some trees.
Yeah, you know what?
What do you think?
It's kind of, you know, right now, well, here's what we have to keep in mind. The property is still privately owned. If at some point they're called out on taxes and the cost for cleaning up the property, that the private individual will probably not be able to pay that, and the property will turn over then to the county first. And the county here in Howard County does not have its own park system, and I would think that they would probably hand it over to the city, although they would not be required to do so. So anyways, with that being said, Mayor McKillop, the property is adjacent to our largest city park, very close proximity to Highland Park. Mm-hmm. And he came up with a plan a few years ago to develop it and put some amenities there that, you know, walk paths and bike paths and some other things, a small amphitheater. And not a bad plan. There's the development cost as well as the future upkeep that we have to keep in mind. But and then when you talked about the contamination, there's different areas of the proposed site that it's not considered contaminated unless you go below 18, 24. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's in the IDEM's been involved in this since the cleanup, and so the reuse is limited in some areas, and it's, you know, part of it, I believe, is in a floodplain, just a small portion of it, some different. Yes, there's some things that have to be kept in mind. The reuse, it's funny, though, that was one of the plans. There's some people in town that talked about developing the property.
Yeah, what are the barriers to commercial redevelopment? As you said, it's very central in the city.
Sure. The barriers would be the need. I think a little bit of supply and demand. Mm-hmm. That's my take on it. We have a lot of vacant retail in just about all areas of town, in both malls, you could downtown, east-west side. A lot of strip malls that have a vacant space. I don't know that we need, there's not a huge demand for storefronts, at any size. Mm. So that's the concern, is that we're not stretched beyond our means right now. So I was very hesitant to get into the development part, especially since some of it is somewhat limited. There honestly has to be some sort of a stigma and the concerns for future liability with anybody that tackled this project. But not, you know, anything could happen. The idea you talked about from Representative Jim Buck, it's funny, he came up here a couple weeks ago and asked me if I would what I thought of his idea. And truthfully, we had been talking about it ourselves, about Purdue has some we had looked into it. They have some trees that are used for that purpose, or at least they're probably make sense to use for this for cleaning up properties. It takes a long time to plant trees, and we can always use it for future development sometime in the future if need be. So I don't think his idea. I told him I was very open to it, and then he went public with it. And I think it's something that really needs to be considered. And there are a lot of ideas. Actually, it's probably gotten some quite a bit of support in the community.
Yeah, and the Kokomo Tribune editorial board has, I think, endorsed the idea of
the
park.
And there's two ways to look at it. Do we plant the trees and then still do mowing and upkeep of the property, or do we just plant the trees and let it be somewhat of a natural setting? But right now, like I say, the important part is it's still in private hands.
But you got control over that because, as you said, they haven't paid – the owner hasn't paid taxes, right?
Right.
Okay, so basically, local government is letting the private owner hold on to it for the purposes of deflecting all of the liability and all of
right,
that.
Right, right. Yeah. And at some point, like I say, first chance, it reverts back to the county.
Right, so, I mean, you guys are holding all the cards, right?
Yeah, as far as the county and city.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Now, not necessarily city government alone, but yes, local government, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think we have to really give strong consideration to that idea. And there was even I've got somebody that called me the other day, and they liked it, and they said, you know, my family worked for two or three generations at the steel mill, and I'd be interested in planting a couple trees in honor of my, you know, grandfather and things like that. So it was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and not a bad idea. And you know, urban forestry, is, you know, there's a lot of communities that have that these days, and so I think we need to consider it.
Yeah, it could certainly turn out to be a pretty significant amenity for the city if it turned out good.
Right, right, absolutely.
We're speaking with Kokomo Mayor Greg Goodnight here on WFIU's Ask the Mayor. Toll-free number to call to join the conversation, 877-285-9348, or you can send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. Mayor Goodnight, we're going into tornado season here, and I wanted us to talk a little bit about tornado sirens, something that you had advocated while you were on the council, and then I think when you got struck with the fiscal realities of it when you became mayor, had to back away from that a little bit. And now, I guess it's the county is looking at reverse 911. Right. Where do you stand on this now?
Well, we're doing a little research into a few. There's a few. There's a group called, I think it's Code Red. They do a reverse 911 type of system. The tornado siren issue, I've never been a huge proponent of tornado sirens. I think you know, they're limited in what you can use them for. It just has to be, you know, there's talk about the reverse 911s. You can use them for so many different things, chlorine leaks, if you have it at like a wastewater utility. A few years ago, we had a natural gas distributor that had to evacuate quite a few neighborhoods because there was a fire there and some different things. So you can use reverse 911 systems for multiple uses. Actually, it was at the end of last year, my last few meetings on the council, they were trying to push through the former administration the tornado sirens. And truth is, they wouldn't have been in place even if had we passed them in December. I don't think they would have. My understanding, they wouldn't be up and running until sometime in late September, early October.
Wow, yeah.
2008. So it wouldn't have made a difference in this year's tornado season. But we are looking at some. You know, we've never had tornado sirens. We have never had them in as far as a municipality. I think there's a couple private businesses that have them. One of the factories here in town. I think one of the volunteer fire departments has a tornado siren, and even one of the smaller communities here in the county. So we're looking at those things, trying to work with the county. Again, just by the financial impact of the decisions down in Indianapolis, we'll have to reconsider everything.
It all comes back to that, doesn't it?
It always comes back to money.
Yeah. When was the last time Kokomo had a real serious storm?
You know, we've had some over. Really, we've had a few. I think it was in 03, 04. Well, you know, of course, we had the flooding.
Yeah.
In 03, but in 03, 04, maybe we had a tornado that hit just on the north end of town. We had a roller skating rink that suffered enough damage that they never reopened. They just ended up tearing the building down. You know, of course, nothing with casualties, but we've had, of course, the biggest storm or tornado was back in the 65 Palm Sunday tornadoes.
Right. Yeah.
A few casualties there.
Well, knock on wood.
Thank you.
You mentioned the city council, and before we move on, I was always kind of fascinated to follow Mayor McKillop's relationship with the council, and I'm curious, particularly with coming from the council as you are, if you could characterize how your working relationship has been with with Mike Karakoff or anybody else.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I was on the phone with Councilman Karakoff this morning on an issue, and he actually called me and. I feel like I have a decent relationship with all nine members. Four of them, of course, I served with over at least the last 4 years. Some of them longer than that, and feel like I have a good relationship. Of course, we're only 11, 12 weeks into the term, and you know, nothing's permanent. But I do feel like communication has been. I feel really good on both sides. I had two council members up here. The city offices were closed on Good Friday last week, but I had two members of the city council up here just going over some things, just some information that was presented at Monday's council meeting just to make sure they had all their questions answered and things like that. So far, so good. If there's a problem, it has escaped me to this point.
All right. Elegantly phrased, yeah. Toll-free number to call, 877-285-9348, or you can email mayor@indiana.edu. We're talking with Kokomo Mayor Greg Goodnight here on WFIU's Ask the Mayor. Mr. Mayor, you've got I think you've nailed down what you want to do with your community development block grant funds for this year, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
What are you going to do?
Well, we've got an area in the city, Amperson Way, which is it's a gateway to the east side neighborhoods as well as a gateway to the downtown. And a big chunk of the money is going to go to refurbishing some of the homes along there. We're going to try doing as much as we can towards exterior improvements in the homes, roofing, siding, windows, doors, and to really improve the image.
Are these occupied homes?
Yes, absolutely. And we're going to have it twofold. We have not come up with a formula yet. We will here shortly. We've tossed around some numbers. We're going to, certain levels. I think we're looking somewhere between the $15,000 and $20,000 per home range for low to moderate income, and those that qualify. For them to make exterior improvements. And we're also looking at some guidelines for rental properties. There's predominantly a large number of rental properties in this section of town. And I think we're going to have some criteria and guidelines that will allow a matching to some extent, maybe a 60-40 split. If they make these improvements, we'll put in 60, but they have to kick in 40% on the improvements. And those, I'm just throwing numbers out. It may be 70-30 or.
But the assumption being that if someone's got the resources with which to rent out some homes, they could meet you halfway.
Meet you halfway, or even better than that somehow. Yeah, so that's the whole idea. And the whole idea is, the value of homes is it's a problem nationwide. But if we're going to put money in and try to improve neighborhoods, and the reality is that there are rental properties in these neighborhoods, it really doesn't do us any good to just focus on the owner-occupied and ignore a large number of these rental properties. So we're going to put some criteria in that maybe stipulates that the rental properties, it can the landlord can only make improvements to maybe one or two of his properties. Even if he owns 10 in the neighborhood, we're only going to help him with one or two, but we will help in some aspect. But we have not came up with we have not had specific guidelines.
Well, it's an interesting program and something that I haven't heard about being done in quite that way in the state. What do you do if somebody declines the renovations, which sounds a little bit crazy, but things like that have a tendency to happen? Do you go in under the flag of eminent domain and up their stoop?
No, I can't believe anybody would do that. But if they choose not to participate and do not want to be a part of the improvements, we've got a pretty a big enough neighborhood. We're not going to be able to hit all of them anyway. So if somebody's not interested, we'll move on to the next home and still try to do our part to improve the neighborhood.
Well, how much money are we talking about here?
I think a total. We had some money left over from last year, and so for that part of it, I don't have it in front of me.
Well, overall CDBG funds are
about
of a million, or
it was a little bit under a million, about $970,000, if I remember right, and then there was some money carried over from last year. But part of this, we're also going to use some money for sidewalk improvements in this area, and then we always have some small grants that we give to a domestic violence shelter. I think they're going to get a couple thousand dollars. There's a community center. We're going to repair the do some electrical work there, and Kokomo has one of the nicest skate parks in the Midwest. And we are going to put in a mini skate park in a over on the east side of town, which will be for more like a beginners and intermediate skaters, allow them to have, because the other ones, it's nice, but it's probably more suited for the advanced skateboarders and such. And we're going to put one in for the beginners and intermediates on the east side neighborhood near downtown.
Well, hopefully you can have Break Skate come out for the ribbon cutting.
You know what? I would love to. In fact, we're very proud of Break.
I know. I need to stop hitting on this, but I just thought they were so great. And it was for those listeners who might not know, this is a jam skating troupe from Kokomo who unfortunately were cut from MTV's, I think, America's Best Dance Crew or whatever, favorite dance crew or something like that.
Yep.
But they They got real far, and they seem to have a lot of fun. I hope you guys are going to throw them some kind of ticket tape parade.
Yeah, we're working on. Actually, it's kind of funny. They have a member of the Kokomo Police Department has a connection to one of the members.
Yeah,
a family connection. But and I got to brag on them. Last time we talked, I mentioned that they 4 or 5 years ago this group performed at halftime. At a halftime show at the Kokomo High School game, and I tell people that they put on a show that you don't see this at colleges, you don't see this at professional sporting events. It was these guys were daredevils out there on roller skates. It was great. So they did a wonderful job. We're proud of them.
Absolutely, and Dave Cook continues to sail through the ranks of American Idol, and I imagine his grandmother must be very proud.
Yeah, he still has family. He has an aunt and an uncle, and his grandmother, and his mother's from Kokomo, I have to be honest, I don't watch a lot of I don't watch a lot of television.
What are you doing, Mayor?
When I get
what are the taxpayers paying you for?
Well, I'll tell you what, when I'm not doing city business, I do have 4 children under the age 18, and so it's kind of
they keep you in the loop, right?
Yeah. So, but we are really proud though of what the local people have done here.
That's sure, yeah. Well, I just to get back from that little diversion.
Sure, sure.
To CDBG, you still have to get approval from HUD, right?
Yes.
And how long does that process take?
Oh, I think it just takes a couple months. We should. I think we're looking at end of May. We should have approval. I was trying to think. We're putting some of the money. We're going to use. I know it's around $30,000. If I remember my numbers correctly, we're going to pour a. Walk path in the current Highland Park facility for help people with disabilities, a disability kind of walk path to make some improvements and some enhancement there. And then we always give grants to groups like the YMCA.
Sure.
And a couple. There's part of it is allocated for scholarships with Ivy Tech and IUK, and there's some criteria there as well.
But home improvement along those gateway corridors seems to be something that's going to be really apparent to the residents of the city. When could that start getting underway?
Oh, if they approve it, we're going to get it up and running, and I'd love to do as much as possible this year. And my thinking is this: if we can show some and have a true different picture of this neighborhood, a before and an after, and over the next 3 or 4 years, use that. As a model for other neighborhoods, hopefully we'll get some good feedback, and then when we go into other parts of the city over the next couple of years, use that as some sort of a model and to show people what it can look like if we do something like this.
Yeah, it's always such an interesting thing because communities across Indiana tend to focus so much on beautification of their downtowns,
right.
And often to the expense of areas of the city that even get experienced by even more people, those major corridors.
Yep.
So it's an interesting thing. We got about 5 more minutes of Mayor Goodnight's time here on WFIU's Ask the Mayor. Toll-free number to call, 877-285-9348. Mayor Goodnight, you don't have a deputy mayor, right?
Director of operations.
Okay, you got a director of operations, yep. And that's going to be official now, right?
Yeah, well, we had passed that on first reading at Monday's council meeting, has to go through 2 more with the council.
Okay, so that means that Randy Morris is going to be director of operations, second in command, but he's also going to be in charge of public works, is it?
Well, what we're doing, we're kind of partially yes. What we had a utilities director, and that had been in place for quite some time, and then they had a superintendent at the wastewater treatment facility. What we did was somewhat took the responsibility of the utilities director and handed part of it over to the director of operations, and then we put an assistant superintendent in. Out at a lower pay out at the wastewater utility plant. So we took gave Randy Morris the official title that had really been a contentious issue over the last few years, but really has been in place since the early 80s, I assume, and just revamped it a little bit, and then for the most part took the utilities director and gave a lot of those responsibilities to the assistant superintendent, which pays substantially less.
It's an interesting way of structuring. We've got a late-coming caller. George would like to have a chat with the mayor. George, are you with us?
Yes.
Hi, George. What's your question?
Yeah, I'd like to, first of all, wish Greg the very best at his position as leader of the city.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think you're going to do just fine. I'd like to make a comment on the Continental Steel site. Reading Jim Buck's comment on what he thinks would be good down there, it just made me really feel good about what he had to say, because I think we need that green area, and the link that it has through the city that it will create, and just elevating the quality of life here in Kokomo.
And I appreciate that. That is probably I have probably gotten more comments in that tone and that very similar comments from a lot of people. I haven't heard a negative comment on the tree planting aspect or the idea.
Yeah, it seems like it's just the way to go. You know, as I drive around the city and I see fields here and there that are for sale, and they're just luscious, rich fields. And I see where it's going. Uh-huh. You know, there's going to be something thrown in there, and it's going to be just thrown in there.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's funny when he came, well, like I say, when he approached me, Representative Buck, a couple weeks ago, we had started laying the groundwork. Like I say, we're trying to get our arms around everything, but we had considered in Georgia, if you're familiar with the city, there's a the old Cabot lot on the south side of almost near the downtown, just by where Southside Lumber was on Washington Street.
Oh yeah.
We were talked about putting planting trees there, make that somewhat of an urban forest, and then as well as the old Delco Plant One at Davis Road and Washington Street, and we considered making that. It's just kind of green space now, of putting an urban forest in there as well. So when Representative Buck approached me, I was, of course, very receptive to that idea.
It sounds like we're thinking ahead.
Yeah, trying to, and you know, and if in the future, if you know, small pieces of it need to be developed, we can always go back and do that. But at the time, it only I think, you know, in the current situation, the current climate, I think it only makes sense.
All right, George. Well, thank you so much for your comments.
Hey, have a great day.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, George.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see where this goes, because if, in fact, you guys decide to go this route, I mean, to have an 80-acre forested area in the center of town would be unheard of for any, you know, of Indiana's mid-sized cities.
And like I say, the question is, do we just let it naturally grow the grass and things, or do we maintain it at some level or part of it? And you know, I don't know. I even had somebody suggest that to do this and then put just kind of crushed stone through there and allow some sort of walk path. And so, I don't know. We're open to it very much.
Well, we'll see. We've enjoyed talking with you, but we're about out of time here, Mr. Mayor.
Adam, thank you very much. And as always, I look forward to our interview.
Absolutely. Well, we'll chat again next month. This has been Ask the Mayor with Kokomo Mayor Greg Goodnight. Join us again next Wednesday. Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong is going to be our guest. I'm Adam Ragusea. On behalf of producer Colin Bishop and engineer Mike Pascash, thanks for listening. Production support for Ask the Mayor comes from the South Dunn Street Project, represented by Brian Lappin Real Estate.